Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
Thank you, Christy. Then it's my privilege to introduce Derek Buffett. He's going to be sharing the word with us. Derek and Beryl shared with the ladies and the men's respectively yesterday. We had a wonderful time. Was anyone there? Who was there? You enjoy it?
Yes.
So, it was a good time, and Derek and Beryl established LL Ministries in South Africa. Worked, you know, to establish them for a long time. They actually have what's the house called? Share House in Pretoria, where people can go and just receive ministry and healing and so on. And they've been working in the areas of personal ministry, counseling, inner healing, deliverance, all those kind of stuff for many, many years. And they've got lots of experience. Derek is 82 years old and Beryl is 78, and they're still going strong. They don't believe in retirement. They believe the kingdom's retirement benefits are out of this world. and when they're out of this world, they'll be retired. Derek was telling the story yesterday, and I just want to share this with you of how he, when he was 22 years old, he took the train up from East London to Namibia, and it was a four-day trip. He didn't know it, but it was to go and meet his wife. He didn't know it at that stage. But he just told the story of when they came to the stop, there was a guy who would walk down the train. It was still a steam engine, and he'd have like a metal rod, and he'd give the wheels a whack. And if the wheels were, there weren't any cracks or bad spots, weaknesses in the wheels, they go like ping, you know, it would like ring like a bell, you know. But if there was like a crack or something, some weak spot, it would go like bong and just like stop like that, you know. And he was saying yesterday how we need to, in the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to come and, in a sense, metaphorically whack our wheels and just hear, does it make a ping sound? Or does it make a pong sound, you know? Is there something wrong, you know? How is your relationship with the Lord? And, you know, the encouragement that comes with that is that God always wants to draw us closer. But we need to realize that any relational distance between us and God is our doing. And he's calling us closer to him. So I just want to hand over to Derek. Derek, if you can come and just share the word with us. Let's open up our hearts and receive what he has to say for us. Let me just pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for Derek. Thank you, Lord, for the word that he has to share with us and the encouragement, Lord God. And we just open up our hearts to receive from you through him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. Bless you.
Good morning, church. It's great to be here. Lovely to see so many young faces. Beautiful. I see one maybe, older face. It's very difficult for us to go into a hall of any size and find people younger than us, or older than us, rather. But it's lovely to be here. Thank you, Annie and Rochelle. It's really a blessing to know you guys and to share with your body. I've really got something in my heart, and the Lord's been busy with me with something for a couple of years now. But this last 18 months or so, the Lord is trying to draw me into that place that I can get to know him better. And when I draw into those places, and I intentionally try and get into those places, and I use the word intentionally, seriously, intentionally, I don't always like what I see in myself. And you know, we minister to a lot of people, and we do mostly these days, we just minister to pastors and their wives, and we come to the conclusion that we all really struggle with that, that getting into that place that we can just hear that ding, you know. And there's so many dongs that we have to deal with. So, you know, when I'm talking about these things, I am talking about all of us. It's just not just not Beryl and I that struggle with these things. But God, what does God want? And I hope the message that I'm going to be giving to you is doesn't sound just overkill, but we got to look at times, and more often than not, at our enemy. The greatest enemy of the human race is sin. It's there with us every day. And you know, I don't only want to talk about sin, of course, but we have to look at it from time to time. And today I'm gonna be looking at that area of sin. In Jeremiah 20:24b says, "Whenever I cause my name to be honored." I've got two scriptures, so Jeremiah. "Whenever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you." And it, you know, how often do we get into that place where we're honoring the Lord's name? And you know, we live daily lives, and we speak to a lot of people, and we speak about sometimes anything and everything, but the Lord never comes into the picture. And so we need to look for those opportunities where we don't have to tell people what to do, but what is God doing in my life? You know, and let them hear that God is at work on this earth. And then, so the message I have is called "Be Not Confused," because we are at times confused, and we serve an awesome God, and He's a loving God, He's a forgiving God, He's a full of grace God. And really, He wants to bless us. And that blessing that God has got for us is so, it's such a nice place to be, in that place where God is blessing Bill and I. Every generation that we come across from the beginning of time has its own fair share of issues and problems to contend with. Some generations have had world wars to deal with. Some have had two world wars to deal with. Some have had endured local wars like Angola. And some of us had, you know, bring it a bit closer. Locally, we've had to deal with the whole issue of apartheid. And that wasn't good for many, many people. We had to deal with these things. And we're still dealing with the aftermath of some of this stuff. But this present generation that we are in now, these guys born from the year 2000 onwards, what do you call themselves? Gen Z. Who's Gen Z here? And who's the millennials? Okay. And who's the old toppies? So we're all caught in this generation of this cyber stuff, and it can be good, and it can be bad, but I tell you what it's doing. It's a lot of it is just drawing us away from the Lord. You know, if you walk down anywhere, go to any place, you will see people sitting on their phones all the time. Excuse me. I'm just struggling with flu. Thank you. And didn't happen yesterday. I went through yesterday's little talk quite well. So I hope I can get rid of this. But this generation really are in a place where we have to be so careful of how we view the cyber. Let's use it for the good use, but I tell you, it draws us in and it steals. It steals time. It steals, and it takes us into different thought patterns somewhere, and it takes us into websites and into places where God does not want us to go. He wants us to use it for His glory. And I'm telling you this because Bill and I, being at the ages we are now, you know, I only got saved when I was 40. So I was 40 years in the world, Now 42 years in the kingdom. But you know, the thing is, in that time of in darkness, we didn't have cyber stuff there. We had other stuff. We had other stuff to deal with. But we sort of growing into the cyber thing, and we're trying to use internet, and we're trying to use emails and WhatsApps and stuff like that. And but the time that we see ourselves trying to get to use it, you know, we communicate now with WhatsApps, and no longer a phone call, or it's becoming just words or little emojis, and you know, trying to express what we feel to people. And you see, if I speak to Bill, and I want to express to Bill how much I love her, I don't take out my cell phone and show it an emoji. I love you. No. I try and do it other ways. But you see, we get used to the emoji bits. And we're not doing the practical things of showing our love to one another. If you don't like me, tell me. Don't send me a grim face or a... And I can always ask, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do right? If I did something right, say so. Thank you. But you know what? We can't live without God's discernment. And if we do not have God's discernment, we are struggling to know what is right now and what is wrong. How do I react and how do I not react? How do I love? How do I express my own? This is my emoji. You're going to use your own body language for as an emoji. Just to tell people where are you feeling. There's a spiritual war out there in the cyber. Am I using the right word by cyber world if I say that? There's a spiritual war there. It's affecting our views. We're reading and listening to or watching every sermon that we can get, and this one talks about that, and that one talks about this. This is how we must live, and this is who's God. This is who God is, and afterwards, and we come here and we hear the truth, and he said, "No, man, yeah, is that right? This guy on the internet, I don't know what his name is, but he said this," and we believe him more than we actually hear the truth of God's word. And I know Henny and Rachel. Man, they are straight on the line. What you get, yeah, you probably won't get anywhere else because this is truth. And truth is hard to come by. So it takes our views, it takes away our understanding of truth. It makes an effect on our decision making. It has an effect on what's morally right. And young people, I know they say to us all the time, we don't know anymore what's morally right and what's wrong. And we love the young people, and our heart goes out for you. So get your source, the stuff that you are, not the source for your hamburgers, the source of your material, or where you getting your information from. Make sure it's the right source. AI wants to take away the way you think. AI doesn't want you to think. We've heard of pastors now say, now sermons are so easy to put together. All I do is put in a couple of ideas here, and then here comes my sermon. The Holy Spirit is cut out of it. Don't let that happen to you. Be careful of AI. I see on our little WhatsApp there, the AI, ask AI. Man, get rid of that little thing. I don't know how you do it. Chuck it out of your phone. Buy a phone that doesn't have AI. Is that possible? But Satan wants to change the world, and he's using the cyber network to do that. He wants to change the whole look of family and marriage. What is marriage today? He wants us to think that anybody that gets married today, that's old stuff. You don't do that anymore. The enemy wants to is looking at changing the way we look at our own sexuality. We can't be who we think we want to be. Can you believe it? No. Go and look in the mirror again. You know, there's a millstone. God's got a millstone waiting for those people when they pass on. Millstone around the neck, into the sea. Cheers, guys. God says, my ways, not your ways. And the internet's ways are not my ways, mostly. So we've got to be careful. And our ministry to young people, we want to say to you, we don't want you, us other guys don't want you to lose out on anything of God's goodness for you. Because he loves you so much. And put our focus rather on what God wants for us to do than look into that little boxy called a cell phone or the computer. What we're actually looking for, as I see in the younger people are looking for that compromise between what is morally wrong and morally right. There is no compromise, let me say. Well, let me say, okay, it's not too bad. It's okay. It's not quite right, but it's okay, but it's acceptable. No, it's not acceptable. It's not. And God doesn't want us to look at things that are look acceptable, or we want to feel, yeah, I'd like to make this acceptable in my own life. Okay, I'll live with it. No. Don't. Because that thing will drag you down, drag you down, drag you down. And God doesn't want that. In Proverbs 8:32, he says, blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And that is throughout generations, from the beginning of time to today. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has not changed, but the world is wanting to change us. If there's a wrong seed that gets planted by watching this stuff, that wrong seed sort of stirs us a little bit. Ooh, that sounds good, you know. And when that wrong seed will slowly germinate and bring us down, 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 where God does not want us. And as I said, the world is conditioning the way that we think. He wants to pull us away from what the goodness of God and even from everlasting life. And Paul gives us some wisdom here in Galatians 5, and he reminds us of God's original intention. I think it'll come up on the board if you want. Galatians chapter 5, I say, so I say, live by the Spirit. Now, look at the spelling of the Spirit, because capital S means God's Spirit, Holy Spirit. Demonic spirit will be a small s. Human spirit will also be a small s. I want you to live by the Spirit and not desire of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature does what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. So we all created sort of spirit, soul, and body. That's how we are. Jesus comes. When we receive Jesus, he comes in and he changes our spirit and he lives with us and we get born again by the Spirit of God. And so when our body, and we want to walk around with this macho stuff, excuse me, I'm trying to get rid of it. or we flaunt around, we show our body. That's worldly stuff. And our mind, our will, and emotions our emotions are up and down like this, also worldly stuff. And so when our mind or our soulish parts and our body parts together, they're quite strong. It is our spirit with a capital S in it that we need to say, Derek lives inside here, he lives inside. My spirit is here. My spirit needs to control my body and my soul. Not the soul, my spirit. And not the body, my spirit. We can do another teaching sometime on that if you want. But what God wants, He wants. When God speaks to us, we are spirit. God is spirit. We are spirit, essentially. And when He speaks to our spirit. And He tells our mind what to do. And the mind tells the body, raise your hand. But if the body's going to control, or if our emotions are going to control, our spirits will lose out and we will go down the wrong road. We need to learn to live by the Spirit. The first couple of words there, Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. And it's by the Spirit of God that is in unity with us, with our human spirit, that is the part that we have forgotten to use. At school, at university, they say, use your mind. And so we get used to using the mind and not using the spirit. Let's get back to what God really wants. And you actually, even if you are listening to God's voice, we still got to use our mind God's way. Okay. So what I'm saying now, there's that war inside of us to do what is right in God's sight. And that's important that we understand that the war is there and there's confusion there, but what does God say? Ask the question. Ask the Lord for discernment. Ask the Lord for wisdom. And He will give it to you without finding fault, the word says. Proverbs chapter 5. For a man's way are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all his paths. The evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. The cords of sin hold him fast. He will die for the lack of discipline. Led astray by his own great folly. And what does that mean? God's looking at us. He says, yeah, I'll show you the way. And what we then say now, well, I don't want to listen to you today, Lord. I want to do something else for a change. And we go off and do something else that we afterwards we find that the sins of, the cords of sin hold us fast. And we get into that place of bondage. God wants us out of that. He doesn't want us there. And you know what? He goes on to say, yeah, led away by his own great folly. In other words, we are led away by our own stupid decisions we make. That's it. God gives us a free will. He wants us to use our free will. But be careful. That free will doesn't mean to say you can do anything you want because you feel like it. And if you're struggling to get out of and you're still in bondage to something, come, let's pray for you. Let's get you out of that stuff. Galatians chapter 5 goes on to say that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Yeah, that's a big word. Debauchery means immoral indulgence in sexual pleasures such as alcohol and sex. That's debauchery. Drugs you can put in there as well now into that category. But if we want to be led by the Spirit, don't listen to the voices that want to pull you away from what God wants for you. Because God's best for you, He will give you the best at school, at university, in the workplace. When you start looking at how what God wants you to do, I tell you what, You know, coming here just before we came here, the morning we came to Joburg, to you guys yesterday, I said, Lord, I just need something from you just to try and tie this whole thing up. That I'm talking about the ministry to the men yesterday. And then the Lord gave me this thing about the tapping of the wheels. I mean, I experienced that in 1964, man. You guys were not even born yet. And the Lord reminded me of this train trip and the guy tapping the wheels. And it was exactly what was actually needed yesterday. It was just like, it just pulled the things together. And so when you ask God for a little bit of wisdom, he gives it to you. And it just comes from a place you don't think of. And I say, Lord, you know, after I was wondering if it's gonna have any effect. But really, I was so blessed because that didn't come from me. Yeah. God will give you things. He'll give you stories. He'll give you past experiences where we listen to God's voice. God will give it to you. And it can change the situation. It can change the atmosphere. It can do so much around you when we're actually looking how to tap into what God's got to say. One of the things I wanted to say yesterday to the men is, how do we hear that voice of God? And I didn't say it, but I thought maybe I'll just bring it up here today. You know, when you are busy with things and all of a sudden something that suddenly that Beryl spoke about yesterday, but that sudden little voice, that still voice comes up. That's God. Holy Spirit. I'm going out. I walk out. And God says, don't forget to whatever. Come on. Man, I couldn't get back in the house because I forgot the keys. And the Lord said to me, beforehand, don't forget the keys. And I thought I had the keys in my pocket. It wasn't in my pocket. So that's still a small voice. Listen to it. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. The second little voice that we hear, as I was at this place, that second voice, oh no, I got it here. It's our own little thoughts we have. But the third voice we hear, that's Satan. And he comes and says, oh, get on with it, man, go and do it. You know, that first voice, grab it, because you're mostly it'll be God all the time. You know, Bill and I lived, as I said, for 40 years in darkness, in this dark world, never hearing the true gospel. Going to church, but never hearing that you need to be born again, never hearing the truth of the gospel. 40 years in the darkness. You know what? It was a shock to me. The pastor up in Windhoek, he was a reverend rather, he was a friend. The assistant Dominie there, he would go and visit his people in the evening and then come up past 9 o'clock at night, and he says, ah, it's beer time. And he would come and have a beer with me. I said, yeah, he's a good guy. He's all right. He never told me that he needed to be born again. So when I got born again, I found him. he didn't really know what to say, really. But God wants to remind us that the sinful stuff that we get involved with is not going to do us any good. Jesus loves us, and he wants us free from bondage. And how do we get into bondage? We ourselves put us there by our own decisions. Peer pressure. Say no. When you get a thought of Satan coming saying, okay, have another squiz at pornography, say no. Say no. Guys, say no. Young people, old people, pastors, say no. We cannot compromise God's word. It's just if we start compromising God's word, we are really in trouble. Bill and I said, good people, love people, but 40 years in the darkness, you mess up. And we all got saved and we thought, oh, this is going to be dealt with. And God said, he said to me once, when I was in training, when we were in training for LL Ministries to bring it back here, he said to me, I want you to go back to LL, to South Africa, and I want you to establish LL in South Africa. Yes, Lord. And he said, but I cannot use you as you are. Because I dealt with a lot of stuff, yes. And I dealt with the stuff that I needed to really deal with. And he said, that's not dealt with. Deal with it. We came back to South Africa, just different people. Why? Because we had dealt with the stuff of 40 years in the world. And in between, I was a pastor for 12 years as well. So we carry this stuff because we don't deal with it. Why don't we deal with it? Because we're so proud. What is that person going to say? No, you know, the church should be here for those people who are in that place. So we can help. But not all churches will do that, I'm afraid. Some churches don't even talk about being born again. Sorry, man, that's a hobby horse of mine, but it's true. How can we be healed if we not even don't hear that truth? We've got to be clear in the scriptures. Galatians 5, still busy there. It goes on in verse 19, it says, and the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like that or like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, you can be born again and be involved with the stuff. God does not want us to live like it, guys. Some churches will tell you that when we are born again, all these things just fall off us. A lot of the stuff does, yes. But sometimes we've given rights that it doesn't fall off that easily. Because you say, no, you gave me the rights. Satan will say, you gave me the rights, I've still got a hold on you. We've got to deal with those rights. That we can be free. And you know, when we get to a place of that disobedience of not hearing and not doing what God has called us to do, and his word is full of stuff that we should not do, and he warns us. Satan will not warn you. He warns us in all these things. I'm telling you now, God's saying, don't do it because I haven't created mankind for this. And because of Adam's disobedience has now become something that we hear the truth, but we don't do it. And God doesn't want us to be in this place of disobedience. And I would like to speak a little bit about that disobedience. We just want to touch on first. You know, the fruits of the Spirit is the place that God wants us to be in. The love, the joy, and all these things, all the fruit. If we can live in that place there, I tell you, you will never want to look back onto what Satan got for us. We mustn't give him that foothold. We mustn't give him even a pinky. Let's say, Lord, what have you got for me? I want what you've got. The thing is here, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, God says, I know the plans I have for you. So he knows the plans from the beginning to the end of our lives. Not to harm you, to give you a great future. He wants us to have everything that he had planned for us. The problem is we don't know what God's plan is, but he will show it to us as we walk in his ways. God started with this, with us, with Bill and I, before we got saved. Actually, it was just amazing. That's another story for some other time. But Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy. I would like to just to jump to the end because my time is running out. I want to tell you a story about Moses. God's plan for Moses was a huge plan. And God wanted to use Moses to take the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. And Moses was the man. We all know that. He was the man. But when he was still a younger man, he looked at somebody else fighting and he tried to help the one guy and he hit him and he fell over, killed him. Huh. What's happened to God's plan? Moses had to flee and he went into the desert. And for 40 years, he was in the desert. 40 years in the desert. God's plan for Moses, maybe at a younger man, would say, look here, this is what I want you to do in 2 or 3 years' time. This is going to happen. Or maybe even next month. You're going to do this to lead the people out. God had to wait for 40 years because if Moses went back into Egypt, those people that were still alive wanted to kill him. So God had to wait for the people to die. And he said, the people that wanted to kill you are dead. Now you can go back. So Moses here standing in the desert. And all of a sudden, there's a bush that started to burn. And he looks at him, what's going on here? God says, take off your sandals, Moses. The place you're standing is holy. But you said, why isn't this bush very dry, tender, should have burnt up long ago? And he says to Moses, Moses, now's the time. I want you to go back and I want you to bring those people out 40 years later. So Moses and Aaron go back and they start leading the people out. He went off the long story, start leading the people out of Egypt, and they get into this desert place and there's no water. And the people start grumbling. Moses, you brought us to this place. Now I'm going to die because we now thirst. Let's take us back. Take us back to Egypt. How many of you want to go back to Egypt for your sin? We want to go back. It was easier there. Moses and Aaron, they said, oh, Lord, what do we do? The tent of meeting. What do we do, Lord? What do we do? He says, you're going to tell them this. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the meeting. This is now in Numbers 20. And to the tent of meeting, and they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock that is before your eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff, and off he went from the presence of the Lord, just as he had commanded. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "This is talking about a million people. So not sure if everybody saw the rock, but anyway, there he was." And Moses uses unkind language. Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock? He took the glory for himself. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out. God did not embarrass him. And the result of the act of that disobedience, afterwards, God calls him closer. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I gave them. And you know what? I'm just about done. I had to think how many times I disobeyed God. And I lost a portion of the inheritance that God had for me through disobedience. The disobedience was, God said, speak to the rock. Moses wanted to show he's the one, and he struck the rock twice. But because of that disobedience, and because of going back into the internet or going back into that stuff that draws us away from God, and anything else that may be, maybe sport is just drawing you away from God. I want to say, sometimes we put our own little gods up here, and our God, our true God, is way down here. And my question to myself was, what have I lost out on? What was God's real plan for me? I think we may be in his permissive will right now, but we're so happy to be there. But I don't know. I'm going to hear one day. And I'm telling you the story because, young people, I don't want you to lose out on what God has actually got for you. And we mess it up when we get into the wrong stuff. That's the message. Sometimes we don't realize. And you don't think, God's got no plan for me. Look at my present situation. Can it get any better than that? Yes, of course it can. Of course. We've got to really think real carefully when we get to a place we have an opportunity to make quick money. Be careful. Our government is teaching us this is not good stuff. But it's easy stuff. And I rather want my riches to live or to live life. I want to live here on earth, and I'll take my chances. I'll tell you what, people that look like that, the word says, will not enter the kingdom of God. God wants us in this place where he is. And I'm done. 1 Peter 5 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. It's not just you and me and us in South Africa. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, in other words, after you have sinned a little while, you've sinned after that little while, he wants to, he'll take you through, allow you to go through tough times. After you have suffered a little while, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And I say, amen. You know, if you've not made the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior and received him, if you have not been in that place, it's a good time, this is a good place to start and say, Lord, please forgive me for my sins. I do not want to get into this place where I'm going to find myself in hell. And I'm talking straight. There is no wrong talk here. This is straight stuff. We can either get a choice on earth, or we're going to get to the Father. And Jesus says, the only way you can get to the Father is through me. By receiving the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, this is the first step we can actually make to step into that place. We can have eternal life. I'd like you to come forward if you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus. If the worship team can come up, please.
worship team.
And so, you know, I want to ask you, if you are in that place as well where you've allowed the enemy to get you into the place of bondage, or you feel that you have these wrong desires in your heart, come, let's pray for you and help you to take those first steps or come walk into victory. Walk into that place of freedom within Christ Jesus. And I ask you now just to make the right decisions. Will that be okay with you? And I trust God will do a special. I want to hand over to you now. You can take it a bit further as you wish, Annie, but bless you. And let me pray for you. Father, I just say thank you for each one. I pray, Lord, that this message will not be seen as a hard message, but it will be a message of love to those who are perhaps find themselves in the wrong place right now. Lord, help us each to make those decisions to move out of that ungodly place we find ourselves and to come say, Lord, I want to say sorry. I want to turn my life around for you and to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Joburg. May the grace you receive produce God's greatest glory and your greatest good. For more information and sermons, please visit our website at www.shofar.joburg.